Welcome, everyone, to the Health Ranger Report episode here today on Brighteon.tv and Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're joined by a very special guest. This guy is amazing. His writings are just mind-blowing. His name is Timothy Alberino. We interviewed him before via audio only. He joins us today via Skype, so we have a full video going. And today, we're talking about the big subject. Yes, today we're talking about extraterrestrials. Oh, and more. So, Timothy Alberino, it's an honor to have you back on. Thank you for joining me today. It's always great to talk with you.
Hey, great to be back with you, Mike. Thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely. Love your work. Love your videos and your presentations and so on. But I also like to talk just casually with you because, you know, you're really a very strong academic, and your information can be kind of overwhelming sometimes to people because it's very in-depth, very well researched. So I like to just chat. Like two guys, two friends chatting about very important subjects. Are you're cool with that format?
I am cool with that format.
All right, awesome. Let me give out your website. It's timothyalberino.com, and also his most recent book, which is extraordinary, is called Birthright. And I forgot the subtitle of that book.
It's unnecessarily complicated.
Yeah. okay, but anyway, it's called Birthright. And also, what social channels and video channels are you on?
YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. It's just my name, Timothy Alberino. Okay. No spaces, no dots, just Timothy Alberino.
Very cool. Good stuff. All right. I mentioned the big word, extraterrestrials. Now, the reason I wanted to bring you on to talk about all of this and more is because, you know, recently with the balloons, the whole balloon fiasco over North America, we had for a day, CNN was hinting, kind of implying, oh, they might be aliens or something, which they weren't. They were balloons. But a lot of people began speculating, was there going to be an extraterrestrial false flag type of event where they fake an alien invasion in order to try to corral us under global control? What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, there was such a plan in place. It was called Operation Bluebeam.
Yes.
And obviously it's never been executed, but it's probably still on the books. And Operation Bluebeam was this plan to fake an alien invasion or UFO invasion using holographic technology and perhaps even advanced aerospace vehicles developed by the United States Air Force or our private contractors. The purpose was exactly what you mentioned, to consolidate global power in order to defend the Earth from an exterior existential extraterrestrial threat. Now, obviously, they've never executed that plan. And so people are wondering, with all of that balloon fiasco that was going on, is this the beginning of Project Bluebeam? Now, one of the things that most people have not been adding into this calculus is the fact that we already have a legitimate extraterrestrial threat. We do not need to contrive one. We have all the receipts for this threat, and it is more dire, more grave than anything that we could possibly concoct.
Okay, so
there's no reason to break out our holographic projectors,
right?
If we even have that kind of technology, or stage a UFO invasion, there already is a threat, an alien threat.
Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the majority of the time here. But I do want to say that what we learned from COVID is that they can fake almost anything because the masses are so incredibly gullible. They'll believe in a pandemic when there may not be one. They'll line up and take injections of transhumanism technology, for God's sake, right? So if the media came on, if NPR said there's, you know, aliens attacking us and you have to line up and give up your guns and bow down to globalist control, believe me, there's a whole lot of obedient, gullible people who would do that.
I don't have any doubt that that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, what do aliens think of Earthlings? You know, at this point, because I'm not that impressed with my fellow humans for the most part. There's some really extraordinary people. Don't get me wrong. But by and large, like the median IQ on this planet, not that awesome. What do you think?
As I say in my book, you know, human beings have definitely not cornered the market on intelligence.
Yeah.
As it pertains to all of the intelligence in the universe. And that's actually a very good question. It's is, you know, if we are dealing with an alien threat and extraterrestrials, and I believe we are, then how does our intellect measure up to theirs? And I believe that we are obviously, I say obviously based on the information that I know, we are obviously way behind in our technological development compared to some of these other, well, let's just call them civilizations from elsewhere.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Let's start with that. Civilizations. Let me just throw a big question at you here. Is their contact with us biological, or is it an AI system created by them that they sent to interface with us, or both? What's happening?
I think it could be both. I mean, we would think, you know, based on our own technology, that any sufficiently advanced civilization would be sending artificial intelligence,
right?
Or at
like
least
probes
be incorporating
or whatever
artificial intelligence,
yes,
into their operations when exploring another planet. It would certainly make sense, and it's hard for me to imagine advanced civilization equivalent or much more advanced than our own not developing artificial intelligence. That just seems to be such a natural progression of technology, robotics and artificial intelligence. So I would say yes.
So for AI systems to be visiting Earth, you know, they could last a very long time during travel, at least theoretically. But for biological systems to be visiting this planet, wouldn't there have to be a faster than light travel technology?
Not necessarily.
No?
Because if the Einstein-Rosen bridge, which is a theoretical construct, in which, you know, they're known as black holes. Some people refer to them as stargates, in which you can fold the space-time continuum. As you know, space and time are sort of part of the same fabric. And if you can fold space-time and you can puncture a hole between the folded space-time, then you can move from one part of the universe to another almost instantaneously. And of course, we're all familiar with this idea because of movies and science fiction books and so forth, but it's actually quite a plausible idea. And I think that these stargates are a reality. And
from a physics point of view,
is in fact being deployed.
All right. Well, that's fascinating. So there could be maybe even a network of stargates, almost kind of cosmic teleportation portals, might be another way to describe it. But I mean, just from a physics point of view, you know, doesn't the event horizon of such a phenomenon in the cosmos, wouldn't it just shred every molecule and just rip molecules into their atomic elements and just shred, you know, anything that tried to enter such a thing? Or would there be some way to defend against that?
Well, the Einstein-Rosen bridge is actually quite plausible. And in theory, they should work. They should function. The problem that we have and that we've never been able to surmount is the tremendous amount of energy that it would take to create one, to open up that wormhole and sustain it for any period of time to get a craft through or something. So that's always been the issue. The issue has never really been, is it possible? I think most theoretical physicists believe that they're possible. They're just impractical because of the amount of energy it would take.
Okay. All right.
Sustain
Fair
it.
Enough.
Now, having said that, I have some friends that have actually seen these things. Now,
what?
I have a friend of mine who was actually my agent for a while, and he related a story to me. He said that he was driving down the highway one day, and if he ever listens to this, hopefully I'm getting the details right. He was driving down the highway one day. He lives in California, and he's just driving, and this is a route he takes all the time. And as he's driving, suddenly, in front of him, off to the road to the right, this circle opens up in the sky, and it's not a vision. He can look around and see everything else as normal. But when he looked at this one spot, there was clearly a circular opening in the sky. And he said it was weird because I was looking into like another place. It was a completely different place. It was a different sky. It was a different atmosphere. He said, and then all of a sudden, I saw, I forget if it was one or two or three, saucers came flying out of this thing. So we saw these, there were flying saucers come out of this wormhole, and then it shut behind them.
Wow. Like a science fiction movie.
This is not the kind of guy who's going to make up stories like that. He doesn't go around telling everybody. He told me because we were sitting together and we're friends, but he doesn't go on the radio and he doesn't write books or anything like that. He said, Tim, I saw it clear as day. I wasn't high or anything. This was just a normal, boring drive that I do all the time. He said it was the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen.
So, okay. Well, that's important.
That's not concrete proof of anything.
No, I understand. But there are, of course, you know, many observations and reports by people that are mysterious, that are unexplainable, given, you know, earthly physics. But let's move to the next point, because you said there is a legitimate alien threat against our planet. And I think we need to go there. So assuming they have some means of traveling across the very vast Milky Way. Let's assume they stay in our galaxy, okay, mm-hmm. which is big enough by itself. Mm-hmm. if they can hop from galaxy to galaxy, that is a whole different ballgame. But if they can just make it to us in our galaxy, what do they want with us or our planet? Or do they just want us gone?
Well, that's a very loaded question. First of all, let me point out that let's say, for the sake of argument, that one of these factions is coming from Mars and maybe inhabiting the interior of Mars, even without jumping space, even without a wormhole, wouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, that's real close by, relatively speaking.
Right, it's close enough by to where extremely advanced aerospace vehicles could make that trip in a relatively short period of time, or from Venus, or any of the planets right near us in the solar system here, or the dark side of the moon is also another possibility. So what do they want? Well, that's, as I said, that is a loaded question. Now, let me back up real quick, because I know there's probably a lot of people who are familiar with me and understand that I'm a Christian. I come from a Christian worldview. So how can I be talking about aliens from other planets? Well, quite simply, because coming from a biblical worldview, all of this is very comfortable to me to think in these terms, because I believe that the biblical narrative presumes the existence of extraterrestrials. And what do I mean by that? Because human beings are not the only sentient entities that are presented in the narrative. And we're certainly not the most extraordinary in terms of our capabilities or our intelligence. There are clearly other sentient beings in play from within the biblical narrative, notwithstanding God himself. And right away, I think most people are probably understanding where I'm going here, because I'm talking about primarily these entities that we call angels, or that the Bible ambiguously describes as angels, because the word angel is not a title. It's not a designation of kind. It doesn't designate a species. It's an occupational designation. In other words, the word angel simply describes what the being happens to be doing, the function. And it's not exclusively used of non-human entities in the Bible. The word angel is also used of human beings when they're functioning in that capacity. And that capacity is an envoy, a messenger, one who is sent. The word in Greek is angelos. And in Hebrew, it's malak. It simply means a messenger. So these entities who are called messengers in the biblical narrative are clearly not human, number one. They're not human. And so I think we would be justified in calling them alien. They're not human. And number two, they're clearly not from planet Earth. These beings are not from the Earth. Their provenance is elsewhere. And so the definition of extraterrestrial, and let's make it specific to a sentient being, is a being whose provenance, whose origin is not planet Earth. If your origin is not planet Earth, then you are, by definition, extraterrestrial. You're not from this terrestrial world. And so the question is, if you're not from this world and you're not human, then where are you from? Where did you come from? And clearly, the angels, the sons of God that are described in the biblical narrative, are not from the earth, because the book of Job tells us that the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, shouted for joy when the earth was created. So not only are they not from the earth, they pre-exist us. They
were here. Isn't it true that many of these angels have actually come to earth and they have taught core skills to ancient civilizations, for example? You know, they've taught agriculture, mathematics, basics of architecture, and perhaps even lost technologies such as, shall we say, like levitating heavy stones, you know, to build monuments, things like that. Is that accurate?
Right. I think that's a good point, and I think it's true. See, I make this point in my book. We didn't invent civilization. We inherited it.
Uh-huh.
The implements of our civilization came from somewhere else. We were given the gift of civilization. We were civilized by someone else.
So then
now,
who's...
people might be saying, well, that sounds like ancient aliens. Well, the premise, and I'm talking about the TV show, the premise of the TV show Ancient Aliens is actually a biblical one. Mankind has been in contact with extraterrestrials since our inception, since the very beginning. We've had intercourse with these entities that are not from the earth. These entities, again, that are called ambiguously, designated as angels ambiguously in the biblical text. And so it's true. And as a Christian, I think rather than so many Christians want to automatically, they have this aversion to this topic. When you say extraterrestrial, they automatically feel like you're getting outside of the biblical narrative. They don't understand. No, we are right within that narrative. This paradigm fits comfortably.
We got a little bit of that response from our last interview. Of course, people say, no, nothing exists other than what's written in the scripture. But as you're saying, this is described in the scripture, but or at least some elements are. But what I want to ask you, if some angels came and interacted with ancient civilizations and taught them things and uplifted them and taught them language and mathematics and agriculture and so on, then who is trying to destroy humanity right now? Because that's what it seems like you're referring to of what we're facing at the moment.
Right, yes. And so staying within the biblical paradigm, obviously people are familiar with angels and the good guys and then the bad guys, who are sometimes referred to as fallen angels. And I think that they're probably better described as apostate sons of God, because there was a rebellion. There was a cosmic rebellion against God, and those entities are in play. And by the way, they look like us. Rather, we look like them. This angelic faction, we resemble them, but they're not the only faction in play. So obviously, among this angelic faction, which, by the way, constitutes a civilization, an advanced, ancient, extraterrestrial civilization, unquestionably, and there's lots of reasons for that. You have the good guys that are members of this civilization, and you have the bad guys. And the bad guys are operating on Earth, and they're in possession of the same kind of advanced technology from this civilization. They speak the same language. They look the same. Therefore, the so-called fallen angels aren't these hideous entities with horns. Rather, they look like the good guys. They probably look like young men in their mid-20s or early 30s with golden blonde hair and blue eyes. And there's reasons why I say that again, which I don't have time to go through, but I do have it in the book. But then there's another faction, at least one other faction, and I would say there's probably several others, but there's at least one other faction in play here, and they would be called the Greys. And those are the typical bulbous head, little, you know, 3 to 4 foot tall gray aliens. And those entities are certainly in play. We are certainly encountering them all the time. In fact, the human species is encountering that species.
But hold on, the first group that you mentioned, are there, as you say, extraterrestrials like that that look like us that are currently, let's say, in power, running governments, maybe leading nations, working for the WEF or what have you? Are they just?
I would say no. And no? The reason that I would say no, again, coming from a biblical worldview, is because only mankind has been given dominion of the earth, authority on earth to govern. And that is something that you can trace theologically in the narrative of Scripture. And so I would say no. It's clear that God gave dominion of the earth to mankind, to Adam and his offspring. And that's why this is probably a conversation for another time.
But is it possible?
Reason why transhumanism is so dangerous.
Could these groups then, are they perhaps giving orders to our world leaders or commanding them or making demands of them?
Well, that's certainly possible. That would be called Luciferianism. I mean, that would be the open adulation of the enemies of God, of these ancient enemies of God who are operating on earth and who do have a degree of influence, especially over those who reject God, especially over those who are engaging in willful rebellion and insubordination against the will of God. Those people are at the very least under a very powerful manipulation from what the writers of the New Testament call the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness constitutes the dragon and his angels, the adversaries of God, and therefore the adversaries of mankind, especially that element of mankind that is loyal to the King of Heaven. Even though maybe this kind of language that I'm using doesn't, again, I want to emphasize, doesn't sound familiar to a lot of people, this is completely within the biblical narrative, this paradigm.
Wow. Okay. Then do you think that we're seeing things happening in the world right now that are the result of this kind of interaction or possible overlord commands or demands? You know, for example, the whole climate change narrative, which is pushing this essentially, you know, terraforming, changing Earth's atmosphere to be incompatible with human life and plant life and animal life, by the way. It's a terraforming operation. Is that the kind of thing that some civilization out there might be trying to do to our planet?
I think so. And again, let's reference the Greys, because that's who I would say. When I say the alien threat, obviously you have, you know, the quote unquote fallen angels that are always problematic for mankind. But in terms of a direct threat, we have this other species, and these guys might be, you know, operating with some artificial intelligence and who knows what, but they are certainly engaged in, they are the perpetrators of the abduction program, because alien abductions are not one-offs. It is a systematic, highly organized program. And the purpose of this program is to create what Dr. David Jacobs calls hybrids, advanced human alien hybrids that can integrate into human society. And they look like us, they sound like us, for all intents and purposes, they are us. But in actuality, they're not us. They are hybrids, and they're not loyal to the human species. They're loyal to the Greys. They're loyal to basically to their makers, the Greys. And that's why I said that human beings are having contact with the Grey alien species on a daily basis, precisely because of the abduction phenomenon. And the abduction phenomenon is very real. There's a lot of scientific data. It lends itself to scientific inquiry, because there is a large body of data compiled by extremely competent researchers, people all over the world, from different walks of life, from different cultures, from different levels of civilization, are having the exact same experiences as it pertains to alien abduction, seeing the same things, encountering the same things. And a lot of these people have no idea, they're not part of the pop culture in America. They're not that familiar with flying saucers and little green men or whatever in the movies that we've seen in the science fiction books. We're talking about people who live in the Amazon. We're talking about people who live in Africa and in the bush who are being abducted by aliens, having the exact same experiences as your soccer mom down the street who's an abductee. So, and this has been going on for decades, by the way. This is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on at least since the 40s and 50s.
Now, in addition,
and I would say since the turn of the century, the abduction program.
Okay, so the abductions are happening. What about, there are a lot of reports of cattle mutilations. Is that something that you believe is real that's happening also?
Or? Certainly. Yeah, yeah. Cattle mutilations are also a stone cold fact. And if you talk to anybody who lives in certain parts of the country, most cattlemen, I mean, most of them will have experienced cattle mutilation, especially in the desert Southwest, especially in the Uinta Valley and Utah, and especially in the San Luis Valley of Colorado. There's a lot of cattle mutilation that's happened and is still happening today. I have a friend of mine who lives on a ranch, and he experienced a cattle mutilation. The cow was standing there in perfect health. They walked away for 5 minutes, came back, and it was dead. The blood was drained out of it. You know, the anus was cored out, an eyeball or something like that. I don't remember all the details, but it happened within the span of 5 minutes.
Or
10 minutes. That animal was alive and kicking, and then dead without blood, laying on the ground. This is routine. This is routine. And so this is all part of what I call the alien threat. We were talking about the alien threat before, and this is why Project Bluebeam is no longer necessary, because we do have an alien threat. It is specifically, aside from the fallen angel threat that's been with humanity since the beginning, you have the gray aliens who are actively abducting people and creating human-alien hybrids. Slowly integrating into human society. So you ask me, can any of these, you know, fallen angels be at high levels of government and stuff? I would say no, because of the rules of the game, which I describe in the book. But I would add to that I think we will see at some point in the future, if we're not already seeing it now, these human-alien hybrids integrating into society and perhaps moving their way up the ranks in the military and in government. Maybe that's what their purpose is.
Wow. Well, going back to the fact that, you know, you're talking about all these abductions and it's across multiple cultures and continents, and the stories are very, very similar, even from, you know, different people, different languages and so on. Even people who don't have contact with, you know, pop culture, as you said. And then also these animal mutilations, it's not just cattle, as I understand it. There are other kinds of animals that are mutilated on other continents as well, like llama mutilations, you know, in the Andes probably, who knows. But it seems like if this is the case, then there must be some group of extraterrestrials that's treating Earth like a zoo or a kind of maybe a genetic sampling database resource or an experiment or something, right? I mean, they don't respect us as a sovereign planet with our own rights, but rather they just see us as something to be exploited as some sort of resource, perhaps a genetic resource. Or how do you make sense of that?
Well, I referenced David Jacobs. Dr. David Jacobs was a Temple University history professor who did a tremendous amount of work in the field of alien abductions. He interviewed thousands of abductees and did it extremely competently. He's written 3 books on this subject. And he believes, based on his research, he has concluded that the objective of the Greys and the abduction program is what he calls planetary acquisition. And so it's not about experimenting on human beings or just harvesting a DNA, which I think certainly they're harvesting DNA, and they may be experimenting on some level. But the end game for them would be, and I concur with Jacobs, and this would also touch on on the point of terraforming, is that these entities are interested in planetary acquisition.
Well, that makes sense, actually.
I always think of them as the antithesis of the Borg from Star Trek. In Star Trek, the Borg would assimilate other factions, other civilizations into themselves. They would take whatever beneficial technology they could and incorporate as many of the organic life forms into their own collective and then move on and do it again somewhere else. Well, the operating procedure of the Greys is precisely the opposite. They integrate themselves into civilization via hybridization. Well, and it's a covert operation. It's a covert takeover, a covert conquest, rather than an open hostility. Although the posture of UFOs, the posture of the entities behind many of these UFO encounters, is becoming slightly more hostile. In that is to say, that we now have frequent incidents in which saucers or other kinds of craft, I would say extraterrestrial craft, advanced aerospace vehicles that are not ours, are hovering over our secret military installations, hovering over our secret underground bases, hovering over our nuclear silos. Certainly in the past, they've been able to completely shut them down, hovering over our battleships, buzzing our aircraft, our fighter jets. And this is happening routinely now. And okay. So it seems that the posture of the phenomenon is changing. It's becoming a little more aggressive, a little more hostile. And that's why we had in 2017, we had the New York Times leaked the Nimitz incident footage, that gunship, that F-118 Hornet gunship footage of the so-called Tic Tac, which everybody's familiar with now. In fact, it wasn't a tic-tac-shaped object. It was a saucer. It was a flying saucer. It was flying in the configuration described by physicist Bob Lazar back in the 90s.
So I've reached a similar conclusion that the planet, our planet, is being prepared, as I say, for a post-human future.
Exactly.
It's very clear. There is a global extermination using advanced technology such as mRNA, for example. There's a shutdown of energy infrastructure, food infrastructure, shutdown of fertility. We've just had chemical gas bombs unleashed over Ohio, which will affect the food supply and cause infertility for centuries. We have then the terraforming operation, carbon sequestration, which is something it's like ripped right out of a sci-fi movie. I'm thinking of that movie called Oblivion with Tom Cruise, where they had the giant alien machines sucking the ocean water off the planet to take the water away, but also all these minerals in the water, and the elements and the minerals are very valuable universally across the cosmos. But it seems like these giant machines sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere, it's almost like an alien terraforming operation to alter our atmosphere and collapse our ecosystem.
But I agree. And I believe you gave a presentation dealing with that topic at the True Legends Conference, right?
That's true.
Which was phenomenal. And I absolutely concur with you. I think we are actively being terraformed. And I think that would maybe be the exopolitics behind the climate change agenda, is maybe to fundamentally change the atmosphere on planet Earth. The question would be, for who?
For whom? Exactly. Like, what species needs a planet that's colder, that has less sunlight and lower levels of oxygen in the atmosphere? So if you were to describe a planet like that, normally it would be a planet that is farther from the sun than Earth is. So it would be a planet more like Mars.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And if you think about the descriptions of the gray aliens, which, you know, as I said, they're between 3 and 4 feet tall, and they have large black almond-shaped eyes. And when you think about in the animal kingdom on planet Earth, large black eyes is very often indicative of creatures of that live in the dark, or that live in a dark environment.
True. That's right.
And so, you know, that's why I said let's not discount the interior of Mars. You know, Mars is the atmosphere of Mars was stripped away. Some people say there is enough atmosphere there actually to still, you know, there is some atmosphere still on Mars, but for the most part, the atmosphere has been stripped away after a cataclysm. But maybe these entities are dwelling in the interior of Mars, and they want to terraform the Earth to be like wherever their planet was, to be like their planet, their origin planet. And
yeah,
who knows?
And they've recruited.
There's so many different things that we could speculate about why it would be terraforming.
Well, but we're going to have to continue this conversation. We're wrapping up for this interview today, it's already fascinating. I think you're opening a lot of eyes and getting people to ask big questions. And folks, you know, even if you think this topic is, quote, out there, what's out there is altering our atmosphere, you know, and that's being done. It's being announced that we're going to suck carbon out of the air and sequester it underground. That's crazy, right? Why would you do that when you need that to grow crops and have rainforests and have plants? Why would you do that? But Timothy, give us kind of where people can find you to follow your work, and then we'll get together again on another time.
And I would add to that really quick. What's crazy is mRNA technology, where they're messing with the human genome and posthumanism, transhumanism, which is out in the open, and they want a posthuman. I mean, everything's crazy. Is it really so crazy to also throw into the mix of this and extraterrestrials? We live in very crazy times. So truth is stranger than fiction. You can find me on my YouTube channel, Timothy Alberino. Just type in Timothy Alberino, you'll find my YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram. My handle is Timothy Alberino, no spaces, no dots, just Timothy Alberino on social media. And then you can go to my website, timothyalberino.com, and sign up for my mailing list to track with me everything I'm doing.
Well, thank you so much, Timothy. It's always intriguing speaking with you, and your book, Birthright, is truly fascinating, and your work is fascinating. I hope you'll come back and visit us again. And if you're ever in Texas, come in studio. We'd love to have you here.
Absolutely. It's always interesting to talk to you, Mike.
Well, likewise, it's great to just interact with open-minded people who don't just shut the box on every topic. It's like, no, that's impossible. Have you thought about the cosmos and what is possible? Because it's much bigger than this little narrow thing that most people are living in, the little mental trap or prison planet, so to speak. But in any case, thank you so much, Timothy. Folks, his website is timothyalberino.com. And of course, I'm the founder of brighteon.com, and you're free to repost this content on other platforms. Now, and again, thank you, Timothy, for joining us. Now,
my pleasure.
Just to support us, folks, let me show you what we have in stock at healthrangerstore.com. That's what funds our operation. Can you guys show camera five there? Yeah, we've got broccoli sprouts that's freeze-dried into a powder. It's loaded with sulforaphane, and it's loaded with I3C, which is indole 3 carbidol. These are nutrients that protect humanity from toxic poisoning, okay? That's what this does. We've got vitamin E, full tocopherols, vitamin E. We've got sprouted radiant superfoods, super seeds in a powder format, and we've got broccoli sprouts in a capsule format as well. So check all of those out. They're in stock now, healthrangerstore.com. You'll take care of your health, and you'll be helping to fund this operation so that we can have free speech conversations like this without, you know, the censorship that typically happens on other platforms. But thank you for joining me today. Stay healthy, stay informed, and be open to learning more truth about our intriguing cosmos. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care, everybody. God bless. Survival Nutrition is our new free audiobook that you can download right now from survivalnutrition.com. In this nearly 8-hour audiobook, you will learn life-saving secrets of how to use food, nutrients, plant molecules, trace minerals, and chemical compounds to save your life, even in a total collapse scenario. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I'm the author of Survival Nutrition. I founded and run a multi-million dollar food science laboratory, and I'm the author of the best-selling science book, Food Forensics. I'm also a prepper, a patriot, and a survivalist. I can teach you how to survive what's coming by growing your own food, medicine, and antibiotics that can help keep you healthy and alive even during the worst of times. At survivalnutrition.com, you'll be able to instantly download the full free audiobook as MP3 files. Keep a copy of all these files on your local hard drive and print out the full guide just in case we lose the power grid. Survivalnutrition.com.